Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
There's two words that, and we're going to go on with the teaching. I just wanted to give my little dictionary words that I put out there, because I'm going by scripture and I'm doing my word study, searching and all of that stuff too. But I want you to look at the word psukikos. That's P-S-U-K-I-K-O-S. P-S-U-K-I-K-O-S. And it's the carnality of man with the fallen state of man. It's carnality, psukikos, P-S-U-K-I-K-O-S. It's the carnality of man tied in with the fallen state of man. All right? Sarkikos, which is S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S, is the carnality of flesh. So psukikos deals with the fallen state of man, and sarkikos deals with the flesh. We got a whole lot of stuff that we're dealing with right now, but I wanna go into what this teaching is all about. In Ezekiel, and it's all about the state of your soul, the state of your mind. You know, the battle is all about the soul. The enemy, the war is over souls. That's why we win souls for Christ. We've been teaching on evangelism. So it's all about soul winning, and people cannot be won in their souls when their minds are confused and messed up. That's why the Bible says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, you know, which is your reasonable service. And it says, be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there is a psukikos that relates to the carnality of man in relation to the fallen state of man. And then there's a sarkikos, which relates to the carnality of the flesh. And the Bible says that the carnal mind does not understand the things of the spirit. So guess what? If you're on here right now and you're trying to figure this out with your natural mind, with your worldly mind, with your fleshly mind, and you don't have the mind of the spirit, what I speak will be like foolishness to you. But for those who have ears to hear, the Bible says, whoever have ears to hear, and your ears is here, not up here in your intellect and your emotions and all of that junk. No, your ooze, O-O-C-E, is where you get this. I want to feed you. It's right down here in your knower. Your ooze is in your knower. Those who have a knower, have ears or a knower to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And let me go back to when the man of God talked to them when Gideon felt like he had too many people. I want to hit this real quick about ears. You know, Gideon had all these thousands and thousands and loads of people. He had to go in to fight these folk who were coming up against their prosperity. He had to go in and fight these ites, whichever ite it was. And God said, you got too many. Wait a minute, God, I got too many. I ain't got enough. You know, we need more. We're coming up against hordes that are so much greater, and there's so many of them over us. But God said, you still got too many, and he kept breaking it down. And he said, well, God, how do I know when I got the right amount? He said, prophesy to the ears. Come on, put that on the screen. Prophesy to the ears. I think this is Judges around the 7th chapter. I'm not no Bible total and scripture quarter, theological person like that. You know, I don't walk around, you know, trying to say things to impress people, but I know the word of God. I know how to work the word, not just memorize scriptures. That makes a big difference. So God told Gideon, prophesy to the ears. and you'll know who's with you and who's not with you. That word ears is ozen, and it means to have ears like a pair of scales. And these scales weigh the benefits that they get out of what they're hearing. So that word ozen, O-Z-E-N, I want you to prophesy right now to the ozens of the people that's on this call right now, on this Bible study right now. Prophesy to the ozens, the O-Z-E-N, the ears, and see who have scales on their ears, weighing out the benefits, weighing out what is going to be the benefit. What do I get out of this? Is it a up or a down? Is it a yes or a no? But somebody who just have ears to hear the truth of the Spirit of God, they don't have scales. They just come in for the pure, unadulterated truth. All right? The flat, bottom line truth. But I prophesy to the ozens. I prophesy to folk who are in it for what they can get out of it. This is not a time, although there are benefits in serving God, there's more to serving God than what you can get out of it. When you love the Lord, that's what it's all about. God just wants us to love him. I'm telling you, it's all about loving God. He loves us, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. And God just wants some of that love back, when things ain't going your way, when things ain't turning out, when the blessing is not wrapped up in a pretty package, you got a blessing, it may come in an ugly package, but when it ain't wrapped up and given to you like you thought it might be, would you do like Job's wife said, curse God and die? But are you going to praise him anyhow? Because there's a greater blessing. There's something bigger. And that, remember I talked about that oligosuchos, that small-minded person who they're so religious and deep and they're looking for the manifestations of what they thought God was going to do, and they're missing the true blessing of what's hidden in the worst thing that the devil ever did to you in your life. See, the truth makes you free, all right? And so I'm prophesying to the ears of those who have ears to hear what I'm saying. I'm gonna get ready to say some stuff. Gonna make somebody mad. Y'all can make some commercials, do whatever you want to do. But guess what? I'm giving it and laying it out just like God gave it to me. Amen. Ezekiel 44:23 talks about Zadok, are the sons of Zadok. They shall teach the people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern the unclean and unclean. So you're talking about you want discernment. If you're in a place and they're not teaching certain things, your discernment is not going to get sharper. And what I'm saying, the babies at my church know. So it says that the Zadok causes the people to discern clean and unclean because they're teaching the difference. Come on, put teach the difference on the screen. Some discernment comes from being taught. It ain't just God showed you. It comes from being taught. There's a teaching anointing. That's why the anointing of the teacher is one of the fivefold gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor. And don't make light of the teacher. Come on, put the anointing of the teacher up there. We need to be taught. And when we are taught, our discernment will be sharper. That's why when you say witchcraft, believers look at you like you're crazy, but unbelievers working in it every day. They understand. Listen, the unbeliever know the difference. The voodoo doctor know the difference. Those who operate on the dark side, they know the difference. It's time for the church to know the difference. I don't believe in witchcraft, and I don't want to be. Well, if you don't believe in witchcraft, you don't believe in most of the Bible. It talks about dark. I don't believe in the devil. Really? So you're going to have to cut a whole lot of the Bible. The Bible said in the beginning, there was a war in heaven. And the same booger that's bothering us out was thrown out. And that's what this is all about. Jesus said, I saw the devil fall like a bolt of lightning. Come on, somebody. I know I'm teaching, but I'm feeling the Holy Ghost tonight. And I want to know if anybody want to share this. Anybody want to hit some hard? Y'all know, if you ain't got nobody saying amen, hallelujah, it may be a little difficult, but I feel my preacher coming on. If y'all don't feel like hitting them hard, I'm going to preach hard anyway. But I'm breaking it down to let you know about the anointing of Zadok, okay? You know what all the preachers know? No, some discernments come from being taught. Unclean, profane, unholy. It directly relates to one word. And I'm going to give you this word. And this is going to set you free. Y'all ready for this? Common. C-O-M-M-O-N. That which is common is unclean. That which is profane, that which is unholy, that which is related to common. If everybody's doing it, come on, somebody. The Bible talks about the broad and the wide and the straight and the narrow. The broad and the wide is that what it's become so common, you know, that it's like it's normal, you know, but what's normal is God's word. And although it's supernatural, it should come normal to us because we love God. Does that make sense? Okay, let me tell you why. Although I did have a dream, and I was dreaming about the Zadok priest, but I had an experience recently where one of my friends said to me that I'm going to say it was a lady. I put it like that. And the lady said that her boyfriend wasn't with her on New Year's Eve. And she asked her boyfriend, well, what are you doing on New Year's Eve? And the boyfriend said, I'm doing some spiritual, and he cussed. Okay, so you doing some spiritual blank, blank, blank. So we know that ain't Jesus. You talking like that. You finna do some Jesus S blank, 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 right? So he said, I'm doing some spiritual blank. Well, what do you mean? He said, I'm chanting and I'm praying to my ancestors. All right. So this is a popular thing. Is it okay to chant and pray to your ancestors? It absolutely is. It is okay to chant and it is okay to pray to your ancestors, but you cannot serve Jesus at the same time doing it. That is a foreign God. And an antichrist spirit. You can't serve Jesus and Belial. You can't serve Baal and God. So can you pray to your ancestors? Is it anything wrong? No. If that's what makes your day go along. But the problem is the mixture. The problem is that we need to draw a line and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve Jesus. Whoever's on the devil's side, get on the devil's side. Whoever's on the Lord's side, get on the Lord's side. Whoever's with God, stand with the men and the women of God. Ain't nobody mad but the devil, but I got to teach this because the generation that we're in, they think it's okay. And guess what? It is okay. But you can't serve Jesus and be a believer. These signs shall follow them. And isn't it funny how folk want to make mockery of us praying in tongues and casting out devils, but you chanting and praying to your ancestors and conjuring demons and don't nobody say nothing. Nobody mocks that. But this is the day of the saint, not the can'ts and the ain'ts. And so it's okay. This, if you want to do this, it's okay. But I want to talk to our babies in the church and those who want to serve God. Because if you're in the Yoruba religion or if you're doing Santeria, God bless you. But we are on different sides. Believers, all right, of Jesus Christ, we do not worship our ancestors. Thank God for our ancestors, but we don't worship them. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I'm the Lord thy God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of your ancestors upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. If you mad, ain't nobody mad but the devil, and you mad at the word of God. Now, I done put that down at the best way I can put it. I'm not going to be here long. I want to talk about some other stuff. All right? Y'all, I went through this pretty. I hit it. I'm going to hit it and quit it. The Lord told me to draw a line for the generations. So that it's okay if you want to pray to your ancestors, and it's okay if you want to chant and do all this other kind of stuff. And guess what? That's fine. This is America. There are different religions, but I want to talk about the born again believers who serve Jesus Christ, we draw a line. Either you serve God or you serve Baal. Don't be hating on folk that's chanting. Don't be hating on folk that's worshiping their ancestors. But what you need to do is you need to pray in tongues harder than they chanting. And you need to worship Jesus harder than they worshiping their ancestors. Because it is getting so popular that I know that there's some people on this line right now where the line has not been drawn and they think it's okay. So can we go on a little bit further? All right. And we're going to hit this stuff. Okay. Here we go. Right here. Bam. Hold up. Whew. Okay. I'm in this book now. I'm not going to be here long. Give it back. And guess what this chapter is? This is chapter 4 on page 37. Chapter 4, witchcraft and divination. Okay? All right. I want to tell you, put two things up here. I want to tell you the difference in a blind witch and a functional witch. Come on, blind witch versus, because y'all do know witches in the Bible, right? Okay, so don't nobody get offended. If you are, you may go now. This is not the word for you. This is our Wednesday night Bible study, all right? The difference in a blind witch, these are people who have been dedicated to be witches, but they really don't have a real awareness. They just think they're operating in something, like maybe I was born with a veil over my face, or my mama told me I had a third eye and I could see things, but you see things outside Jesus, and God didn't have us to have but two eyes. Okay, and everything else is by the discerning and the leading of the Holy Ghost, okay? So those people who are teaching you to use your third eye, renounce it and be free. So we usually call these people that are blind witches, I mean, operating unknowingly in one way or the other, and we call them empty shells. You know, they ignorantly use the powers of witchcraft, and but most blind witches are aware that they have a special power. They just are deceived as to where the source comes from. Some cases are so extreme that people will literally knock folk out and use them. And they get up. Listen, they get up. They don't even know what they did. They just been used by darkness. Let me say this. One of the biggest, greatest spiritual principles to understand how to deal with the supernatural is this. This is one of them. Everything, you can put this on the screen too. Everything that God has, the devil has a counterfeit. Go ahead and hit those hearts for that. Everything that God has, the devil has a counterfeit. Let me give you a scripture. It says Luke 10 and 19. God says, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." So guess what? Both of these words, power, are exousia. Put that on the screen. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. Exousia. Or exousia, however you want to say it, exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-E, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. God says, "I've given you power," God's power, "over all the power." I've given you exousia over all the exousia of the enemy, all right? So we know that there is, let me read this little statement. It says, "The scripture describes the dominion that God has given us over dark powers. When this passage refers to the power to tread on serpents, it's addressing exousia power. On the other hand, when it refers to having power over all the power of the enemy, that is the power of dunamis. Exousia is the power of a potentate or a specialist." Now check this out. Functional witches, right? A functional witch is a person who intentionally, knowingly, operates in, yeah, put this on the screen. Y'all ready? All right. I'm going to increase. Apostle Eckhart told me about increasing my warfare vocabulary. I'm getting ready to increase your warfare vocabulary. They intentionally operate in demonic premeditation. Demonic premeditation. Now I'm teaching again out of my favorite warfare book, Give It Back. Y'all see my name right there? I wrote that book. Okay. I wrote it. intentional demonic premeditation. In other words, they've carefully thought out plans for working darkness against innocent bystanders. They function every day as people and operate incognito. They are outright enemies who plant themselves in the midst and take pride in secret plans. Jude 4 speaks of how men creep into the midst of God's people and remain there unawares. Put that word on the screen, unawares, U-N-A-W-A-R-E-S. That word, unawares, means to settle in alongside. It means just like the wheat grow up with the tares. Everybody in the church didn't come in for the right reason. There are some people that go to church, that associate with the church, that do church, play church, preach in church, whatever about church, they do it. And they operate in unawares. That word is really perish duno. I'm not going to go through that, but they operate in unawares. Just like the woman with the python spirit. The word is puthon in the Greek. The woman with the spirit of divination, since y'all don't believe in it, that was following the disciples. And she followed them for a long time, hung out. Finally, they had to stop and deal with that spirit. I believe God is having me to stop and deal with the spirit that's following the church. That python spirit, that spirit of divination, that spirit that squeezes the life out of people, okay? I'm almost finished. I got a little bit more. I'm finna give y'all something real good right now. Y'all, this is a good Bible study, isn't it? The Bible is true when it declares that you gotta know those who you labor amongst. Now remember that. Know those who you labor amongst, okay? Proverbs, here's a great example. Proverbs 23, verse 6 and 8. I'm going to wait and let y'all put that on the screen. Proverbs 23, verse 6 and 8. And if this is your first time going through a teaching like this, you might want to, instead of asking questions, right, you might want to revisit what I'm saying and then go over it with the scriptures and everything, because I ain't trying to choke you. You know, just give you a little bit at a time. But Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verse 6 through 8. Okay, I got it. Thank you, Sharita. I see it. Proverbs 23, 6 through 8. Thank you, Shanice. Here we go. Y'all ready? Eat thou not the bread of him that has an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Now, so basically this scripture is saying don't eat. The Bible says, first of all, it said come out from amongst them and don't just sit down and eat with anybody. Now that's a scripture. Y'all know we got it. I ain't got to go through it. But this scripture is saying, do not eat food from people whose hearts are not right by you. It says that don't eat the bread of him who have an evil eye, neither desire his dainty meat, because as he think in his heart, because he wicked in his heart, it says it's going to come through his hands through the food. So is he, eat and drink, says he, but in his heart, he's not with you. He's feeding you. He don't even have to put nothing in there. A person cooking over your food or having the wrong spirit. I know that some folk are sitting there with their mouths wide open right now. You should not eat for them. You say, I just pray over them, bless it, but don't be no fool. Yep, you pray. You may be all right, and then you may not be all right. Because when God give you a word, he give you a word for a reason, you know. And so pay close attention to the word evil eye. This word is ra. And in the Hebrew tongue, guess what it means? Malicious, wretched, harmful, troublesome, adverse, a person who has evil favor. Come on, put that on the screen. Now, that ain't an evil favor. I know we don't spend a lot of time talking about stuff like this. But y'all know, you know, I'm talking about evil people. And why would David spend all that time talking about enemies? You know, David was I know David failed. I know David committed adultery and murder and all that. But the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And David spent a lot of times, I don't know if you've read the Psalms, Wait, I lost my place. David spent a lot of time. Hold up. Let me find it right here. David spent a lot of time talking about enemies. Let me read a little bit. Psalm 64. You can read it in your free time. All right. You know, and I'm not finna answer all those questions by eating in a dream and all of that stuff right there. Y'all want to focus on this Bible study. And you know, because eating in the dream can mean one thing. The rule in the spirit is that there are no rules. So if you say eating in a dream is witchcraft, and then eating in a dream may be something else. So you just can't. That's why I don't mess with telling people what stuff mean unless the Lord reveal it to me. So that's one of the real ways witchcraft start. Oh, if you got your shirt on backwards, or if this happened, or if that happened, the rule is there are no rules. Those who are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. And if you make up your own rules, you'll be slain by them. So just because you dream that you were eating in a dream, see, that's how witchcraft operates. You know, step on the line, don't step on the line. Don't do this or don't do that. All of that stuff is ritualistic. But here is the scripture in Psalm 64 and 1, where David said, "Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion and the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, their bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, we who will see them? They devise iniquities." Remember that word iniquity keep coming up. "We have perfected a shrewd scheme," they say. "Both the inward thoughts and the heart of a man are deep, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doings. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory." So it don't stop there about how folk are so wicked. But your God is so powerful. And I'm almost finished. And I want to hit some natural things. Not natural, they supernatural, but I want to kind of explain them. Charismatic witches. That don't go together. That's an oxymoron. A charismatic witch. Yep. The most difficult type of witchcraft for believers to understand is charismatic witchcraft. Come on, put that on the screen. This witchcraft subliminally operates by mixing darkness with spirituality, even in the church. When you start making it a habit, you know, if God tell you to go to the pool of Bethesda and jump in at that time, it's gonna work. But then years later, you still going and worshiping that pool when the anointing is not there. There are things that God have told people to do, told me to do. You don't make a religion out of it. That's what charismatic witchcraft does. It makes a religion out of it. Though we stand on the Psalms and we stand on the word, we ain't putting writing Psalm and putting it in our shoe and walking around houses 7 times for people to lose their husbands. Or putting a glass of water in the refrigerator and drinking out of it 1 time for 7 days and 7 weeks in the 7th year. You know, all of that stuff is wicked. And some people say they don't believe in witchcraft, but to be a Christian and not believe in witchcraft is a deception, because it's to deny a lot of the word of God. God created everything. He created the devil. He created hell. He created angels, and he created heaven. He's Lord of all. You know, if you make your bed in hell, God gonna be there. God, believe it or not, is over everything. And that's what people have a hard time understanding. How could God be over the wicked? Listen, the day of the Lord is here. The Bible is clear about the topic of witchcraft. And I'm going to use two, and I just want to, I'm giving a mild, you know, for those of you who do some of my private courses, or we're going to go deeper than that. But right now, you know, we're going to give people enough to chew off of so they won't get choked. Just can't give folk too much stuff at one time. 1 Samuel 15:23, put it on the screen. It says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. The first thing that we need to know is that rebellion and witchcraft are the same. The second is that witchcraft is a sin, and rebellion in this case means bitterness. If bitterness is a sin of witchcraft, then we in trouble, y'all. You know, we don't need no roots of bitterness. We don't need anything operating in our life. That's 1 Samuel 15:23. Galatians 5:20. It says that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. And if witchcraft is a work of the flesh, you know, it's operating everywhere, in the church, everywhere. Flesh and witchcraft, we're talking about that realm. It works together. Witchcraft is deeper than riding a broomstick, stirring magic potions in a cauldron. It is control, manipulation, rebellion, and bitterness, and all other kinds of works of the flesh. And it has to do with works of the flesh versus fruit of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. So, no, take works of the flesh and set it to the side. What I want to compare is gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit. Many want the gifts, but they don't covet the fruit. Witchcraft is a spirit. And Ephesians 4:27, the Bible says, give no place or no room to the devil. But when we ignorantly operate in the things of the Spirit, they're open doors that gives place and give. Now, don't tell me that, you know, oh, that can't work against me. But you don't. The Bible said, don't give him no room. Close that door. Don't listen. I had a dream, and I'm going to tell you about this dream. And I recently had a dream. And in this dream, I was in front of a house that apparently was mine. I never knew the house. In the dream, it was my house, small house. And I saw a blonde python snake. Looked like it was about 20 feet long. This was a long snake. I left my door open. The snake went into the door and turned right in the house. And by the time the tail of the snake got in the house, I was getting ready to close the door so that I could trap it so that somebody can come and get this snake out of my house. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, don't close the door because that thing needs to come out. So I left the door open and the snake went circle around the house, and the same way it came in, as fast as it came in, it went out. There are some things that's not going to linger, that's not going to stay. There are some things that came into our life and we closed the door and ran for help. But I stood there and I commanded that thing, the same door that you came in, you come out. But I couldn't close the door on it. I had to leave the door open for the same way that that thing came in to come out. Now, guess what? I'm not going to interpret that, but that's going to bless somebody. Somebody's going to get this. Romans 11:29 talks about how the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And I'm really about to close out. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That word gift is charisma. In other words, it's saying that if God gift me, Kim Daniels, can I use me as an example? God gift me. If I backslide, go start smoking dope, do whatever, living away from God, my gift will not, it can still operate. I can be in a bad place. That's what happened with the priest. God said they had fallen away from him, but he left them there because they weren't there for them. They were there for the people. And the curse was, you can minister to the people, but you have no ministry to God. I don't want to be able to minister to people and not have a ministry to God. You know, my gift will make room for me, but it's without repentance. God's not going to take it back. That means we can't judge gifts by people being right or wrong. Come on, somebody help me. So this word charisma, it means to be endowed with special attributes that makes a person especially gifted. All right. God is not going to take it away. And so let me go to the last little part here. I just want to close out so I can hit the come to me oil. Like y'all know, I put up the come to me oil, the spiritual baths and all of that. Y'all listen, I am going to preach the truth and ain't nobody mad but the devil. Okay. So, let me give you a few. I got types of magic in here. I got list of all these types of divination, but I'm not going into all of that. This is the book. Give it back. All right. You can go order it on Amazon. All right. So the types of magic that I want to talk about is so, you know, there's, I don't want to get into all the deepness of it, but I just want to talk about four things real quick. I'm going to name them. Protective magic. Put that on the screen. Protective magic. It's an act or formula put together to avert or overcome evil. Some people will go to evil to get rid of evil, but Satan cannot cast out Satan. In other words, if somebody put a curse on somebody, they'll go to another root worker to take the curse off. That's called protective magic. God ain't calling us to work no kind of magic. God is not in the magic business. He's in the miracle business. He's not a magic working God. He's a miracle working God. And just think about when the magicians came in with Moses. You know, that's the perfect example. When they threw their snakes down and the poles turned into snakes, Moses' snake ate up their snakes, and God's snake, God's pole, whatever you want to call it, will eat up the works of darkness. Light always run darkness away. Okay. And here we go. The second kind of magic, sympathetic magic. Did y'all put protective magic up there? Now, sympathetic magic. It's an occult belief that when a person is separated from someone with whom he or she had a relationship, it can continue to exist through soul ties. This type of magic keeps a link between two individuals even after they are separated. It's a type of long distance control where natural connection is not necessary. The knot of the tie is self-pity. Even if one party wants to break the tie, self-pity is the glue that keeps it together. All right? So in other words, sympathetic magic has a lot of different things going on here. When you start talking about sympathetic magic, first of all, be very careful when you're in a relationship with somebody because you feel sorry for them because of self-pity. Come on, somebody. Sympathetic magic. They're working on your emotions. They're working on your sympathy. You know, you'll never get away from them. You concerned about what's going to happen when you leave, even though God told you to leave. Sympathetic magic is very real. And guess what? It will control your entire life. And it operates a lot in the church. It operates a lot, you know, I mean, through leaders and through people in the church. Sympathetic magic. And I talked about how this knot, a soul tie, it forms a knot. And even when you try to get away from a person, you can't get away. Let me tell you something. I have had soul ties. I understand soul ties. A soul tie will manifest in your dream life. A soul tie can manifest in all different kind of ways. But one of the favorite ways that a soul tie operates is in your dream life. When you keep dreaming the same thing about the same people, you're not with them anymore, but they're visiting you in your sleep all the time. Come on, somebody, break that soul tie. All right. And old ties and soul ties, some stuff, you know, some people, we just lingering on stuff that happened a long time ago. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, it's real easy to look back there and see the good parts, but the enemy won't let you remember the reason that you're not with that person, around that person anymore. And we're asking God right now to break every soul tie and every old tie out of our dream life, out of our natural life, out of our spiritual life, wherever it's coming from. And especially, God, deliver me from every self-pity spirit. the spirit of that will cause a knot in my life because I feel sorry for you. And even you may feel sorry for me. Whatever it is, it's an ungodly, unhealthy relationship. The third kind of magic, contagious magic. This is the belief that whatever you come in contact with will have an influence on you after you leave. It's called transference of spirits. You know, y'all heard of the demon Azazel. A-Z-A-Z-E-L. Hollywood did a movie with Denzel Washington called Azazel, where the demon was jumping from one person by contact. Listen, a transference of spirits, contagious magic is very real. And then I want to talk about, and this can occur through sexual intercourse, through drug usage, through casual acquaintance, through telephone, through television, through any type of contact or transmission. The good news is that the blood of Jesus will ward off. But God says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Be going around. I'm saved. I don't believe in that. The devil can't touch me. I'm too strong. Boy, you just opened that door. I'm a strong-minded person. I got a strong will. I got you the first one that they're going to get. The Bible says, let the weak say I am strong, but it's not in power and might, but by the Spirit of God. Strong is in your wisdom and knowing what to deal with, what to not to deal with, and what to close and open. You got to open some doors to God and close some doors to the enemy. Listen, if you know somebody dibbling and dabbling, oh, I don't care about Auntie doing that. You know, I'm still going to go eat at Auntie's house. Listen, let me say this to you. I'm going to tell this story. And then I want to talk about the last thing. There was a lady. And I really had to repent because this lady, when I grew up, was involved in a voodoo religion. All right? I just know this now since I've got older. But when I was 14 years old, I was taken to a man because I was getting in a lot of trouble. I was getting in a lot of trouble. But not like after I went. They went to take me to this man. He had a table with a light on it for me to stop acting crazy at 14. Boy, I was doing some crazy stuff, but you can't go cast out crazy with crazy. This man told me, well, he was telling me things about myself that I didn't tell him. He said, you run. And I said, he said, well, you want to be the fastest woman in the world? Take a bath in this oil. But I was so rebellious, I rebelled against the devil. I ain't taking a bath in no oil, you know. I'm going to be the fastest woman without oil. And I really told the voodoo doctor where to go. And left there, and the trouble started in my life. I was not in God, and I went up to that. Somebody took me there, made me sit down there, and I'm sitting up there arguing with the voodoo priest, telling him what he ain't going to do and you ain't going. Anyway, trouble started in my life, and I'll never forget that. But there was a lady. She's still living in this city right now, and she stay away from me. I mean, I'm not going to do nothing to her, but I just know what she operate in. Because one time I walked in on her and she was in front of her fireplace with a bunch of little statues. I was going to help clean up like we had done before. And she was calling, her eyes was rolled back in her head and she was foaming out the mouth and she was saying, get these whatever off of her. I mean, it was quite a bit for a young girl my age. I didn't know what to take of it. But I remember I got out of there and I saw her talking to demons. I was 14 years old. I remember me and my sisters went to clean up her nasty house. And she fed us. And she gave us such small portions of food. I never did understand it. I'm hoping that the stories that I'm telling you, so you think, oh, I'm just reading out the Bible. No, I've lived it. I've seen some things. I've been delivered from my bloodline by my grandmother who read dream books and she was blind. Read my book. And she would lead me up to people and cut them right, wide open with switchblades. My grandmother met my grandfather at Rayford in the prison, And my grandma was blind, and I would read her dream books and interpret the oracles from that book. If you dream about a naked woman, come on, y'all. If you dream about a naked woman, that means somebody gonna die. If you dream about this, that means somebody gonna get pregnant. I've been reading since I was 4 years old. And I used to read the dream books. I learned to read by reading dream books, since y'all don't think witchcraft is real, by my blind grandmother. So I know that God had his hands on my life since I was a little girl, because she wouldn't even let me cry. When I saw all these things happen, she used to say, "You better not cry. You know, read that for me." And I was reading and writing fluently by 5 years old, and I learned through witchcraft books. So, I mean, it's my pleasure to tell people truth. And if anybody is offended, God bless you, because I do believe in eternity. And I believe that what I do in this earth realm, whether Tom or Jerry likes it, it's going to affect me eternally. And that's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What I'm preaching tonight is a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not just playing and saying anything, but I remember when the same lady fed me and my sister. And I remember when her and her other witch friends would sit with one of my family members. And when I came into the house, that witch would say, "Watch her. She's special. She got the gift." You know. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. When I first, got my church, I ran into this lady. And a lady called me, and she was at a restaurant. And she's like, "You don't remember me, Kim? You don't remember me?" And I said, "No, ma'am." You know, I'm trying to be nice to everybody. And she said her name. At first, I just said, "Oh, hey," walked out. Then I thought about all the trouble that she brought in my life. I went back to the table, and I don't know where this came from. I'm just going to tell you the story. I said, "Ma," we're going to say that's her name. "Can you come outside with me for a minute?" "Baby, yeah, baby, you're doing so good in life." Yeah. I went through hell to get there. And I want to thank you for all the trouble you brought me through, because that trouble, God brought me out of it, and now that's why I'm blessed today. But I had to let her know that I know what you did to me and my family. And I did this. I wash you. I promise. I don't know where it came. I just said, "I wash you. I wash my hands of you. I forgive you." Okay? And she couldn't say nothing, because she know what she did, you know. And people operate by the Spirit like that. The first thing you do is you separate yourself, you forgive them, and you know what time it is. God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. You are not natural men and women. We understand the things of the Spirit, and the devil hates when you tell a witch, "Listen, I'm not a natural man, so go get the step, and I understand what time it is." So let's get to the come to me oil, the come to me oil, and the spiritual baths. How do I know about that? Google it. Google come to me oil. You can get a half ounce bottle for $7.95, and it says that come to me oil is it's used, I mean, if you Google it, hold up. Okay, here it is. It's used to win the attention and affection of someone you're interested in. "Oh, I don't believe in that stuff." Well, guess what? People buying it. Mm-hmm. People buying it because it's real. No, you live right. You plead the blood. But go out there and play with and lay with somebody doing come to me oil, and your mind going to be all messed up. If you play with it, it will affect you. Just recognize it. Know you got power over it. Know you got authority over it. You look that devil straight in the eye. That's right, Judy Robinson. And come to me oil, it says it's hoodoo or voodoo. And how did I know about it? Because I was praying for some young people that come out of a certain type of voodoo religion, you know, and guess what? If that's what they want to do, they can do it. But they wanted to come out because they were afraid that they went in too deep and they couldn't get out. And they came to me because they felt like I would understand. And the first thing they told me about was come to me oil, a oil that men, that I think mostly women, I've never seen any, men probably putting on come to me oil too. I'm telling y'all that come to me oil is of the devil. Can y'all hear me? You're going to put some oil on that's going to draw somebody to you or take a spiritual bath. Okay. These are not, use anointing oil. God will anoint you. And guess what? Whatever oil you use in God, anointing oil, don't use it to control and to manipulate a person. A spiritual bath is different from Calgon, take me away. It's a ritual that use energy. And when somebody always talking about aura and energy, that don't mean Holy Spirit. Listen, I need to know what energy you talking about. I need to know what God you talking about. And I'm going to close out right there. And we're going to pray this prayer. And I got a prayer to break divination and witchcraft in my Give It Back book. And we're going to close out with that. God bless you. Listen. Folk are doing all kind of mess on the internet. Can we teach the Bible? Yes, we can. God bless you. I know we got a lot of people watching. I got some get up. Sonya says she got some get up and away from me oil. That's what the Holy Ghost is. Listen, y'all ready to, don't forget about the revival. Yes, it's going to be a 3-day revival, 19, 20, and 21 next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I want those of you, Sonji, go ahead and put that post office box up there. Post office box 28007. You got time. You don't have to do it overnight. Send your prayer cloths. Send your write your request on the cloth, or send a sheet of paper or whatever it is, because I have this box right here. Oh, I've already got some in already. All right, we're going to be praying over them, and I'm going to do a fast I've never done before. I'm just going to go all the way, you know, 3 days. I've never went on a nothing fast, or it's just water. I want God to move. So send your prayer request. For those of you, this is our Sunday service, who want to pay your tithe and offering, I got it on the intro of this live. You can go to Givelify and search Spoken Word Ministries in Jacksonville, Florida. Or you can go to KimDanielsMinistries.com and hit the donate button. Or for love offerings to Pastor Kim, you can go to APOSKMD22. Sonja, can somebody put that APOSKM, the cash app sign, the money sign, APOSKMD. KMD22. Y'all getting real crazy on here. Whatever you see, I see some crazy stuff on here. I have 3 days, nothing, and move. Yeah, but I've never done water. And I'm just saying, I just do the fast that God lead me to do. And I've never done a 3-day. And I don't really, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think I could do a 3-day nothing. I wake up in the middle of the night choking, drinking water. APOSKMD22. But I do know, not because of the sacrifice, but because of the obedience, I am believing for people to be set free, for your loved ones to get saved, for folk to come back home, for us to get saved, for us to come back to God and get back in the place with God, oh God, where we need to be, you know? And so, listen, that post office box 28007, and listen, you can go ahead, you can send the offering. I was doing this fast. We're asking people to send in, and if the Lord bless you between now, if you gave a $2,100 offering, listen, the God blessed me real good today, and I'm increasing my offering. If you gave a $21 offering and God blessed you and said, my God, that was a quick return, and we're not giving just to get a return. But if God blessing you like that, you may want to up the ante and give another $21 or $121, $221. Somebody gave $5.21. So just put the $21 in there. I gave $521 and I'm going to give some more. I'm sowing tonight to be set free. But I want you, when you sow your seed, I would like for you to send your prayer request. Not, don't put it on the screen. I want the physical cloth or the physical paper to be in my box, in my prayer box. Now, it's been some time. That's right. What address for the Cynthia? The address is on the screen. P.O. Box 28007. Just rewatch this post. And y'all send those prayer cloths and send, I mean, those prayer, that prayer list. If you don't have a cloth, send a piece of paper. So let's close out, y'all. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit of the wizard, all witchcraft spirits and other territorial spirits. We renounce anything that's outside of Christ. In the name of Jesus, any spirit of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger, and spite, the root of bitterness, malice, and any other hindrance spirit in our lives. God, we blind every third eye that's operating in the physical, in the psychic, and even a spiritual attack against all that concerns us in Jesus' name. Every assignment, every operation, every seating, every work, every plan, every activity, every trap, every wile, every snare is bound and blocked off of our personal affairs, our families, our businesses, and our ministry affairs. All curses, hexes, vexes, bewitchment, enchantment, cantrips, ligatures of judgments, and judgments of witches and warlocks, and acts of evil are cursed at the root. We put the axe to the root in Jesus' name. Witchcraft, sorcery, magic, candle magic, potion magic, black magic, white magic, contagious magic, and omens have no power, and we break every assignment over our lives in Jesus' name. Jesus is Lord. Anything that comes from any other force outside the power of the blood and the power of Jesus, every working of a curse, a ritual, or sacrifice to satanic activity, it is counted null and void, and we send it back to the pit of hell where it comes from in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over every act and declare that no weapons formed against us will prosper. And God, we thank you that as you have touched our minds and brought the light and illuminated us, I thank you that you're sharpening our discernment, that we'll no longer be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. All demonic thoughts, threats, mental accusations, statements, ideations are cast down, and every stronghold is pulled down and the devil cannot use it. Every self-inflicted curse through negative confessions, imagery, magnification, and all other sources of darkness, we cancel your strategy in Jesus' name. And we say we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and whatever is called to manifest will never manifest. We render it of no effect. It's judged by God, spoiled, and put to open shame. And every plan of the enemy will never seed or take root in our lives, because no weapons formed against us will prosper in Jesus' name. Every reinforcement, backlash, revenge, retaliation of the enemy launched even as a result of this teaching and learning, it's already dried up. And we cast out every vain imagination. It's broken off of everything that concerns us. In Jesus' name we pray. God has given us power over all the power of the enemy. And God, we thank you that the power that Jesus rose up with in his hands is in our hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just want to take this time right now as we are finished. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you can admit that I've been operating in some of this stuff and you want to renounce it right now and love on Jesus, accept him in your heart, renounce the devil and all dark ways and say, I'm coming into the fold of God. Lord, I accept you in my heart and I repent of all my sins. I am free. Save me, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and endue me with power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Y'all keep sharing this post. Keep giving them seeds and send those prayer cloths and those prayer requests in to that post office box that's on this page. I love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you. What an awesome Bible study.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.